Good afternoon, students. Welcome to our today's teaching on e-learning platform. I am teaching from All Saints Secondary School, Oyibo, Rivers State. I am going to teach government for SS1. I'm still Mrs. Florence Iwanyanwu, your government / CRK teacher. Today, I am going to teach communism. Remember that the last topic we treated was socialism, okay? But today, we are going to talk about communism. Remember that one of the things we learned from the communist socialist theory was the means of production, exchange of goods and services, being in control of the state, and how the nation's wealth was divided equally, okay? And how there was provision for employment and how there was also job security. But in our today's topic is going to be a little bit different from the one we learned last week. Okay. Let's start from, we're going to look at the definition. And later we'll look at the features. We'll look at the features and we'll also look at the principles if we still have the time. But just pay attention. Communism may be defined as a political and economic system in which the community, through the common ownership, collectively controls all the means of production of goods and services, exchange and distribution. I'm giving this definition according to Essentials. Why do we always make reference to Essentials? Essential happens to be more direct and kind of more explicit, so to say. Okay, I'll tell the definition again. Communism may be defined as a political and economic system in which the community, through the common ownership, collectively controls all the means of production of goods and services, exchange and distribution. Okay, and you might be wondering, communism, is it not the same thing as communalism? Of course, they are not the same, but be very careful because they sound alike. Remember that when we did communalism, one of the things we learned from the theory was that no one had the right to own any landed property whatsoever. Okay? So it's different. So while you're making your definition, be very, very careful. Okay? Now, when I taught you last week, I told you that socialism was propounded as a result of the ill behavior or the negative aspect of capitalism that emanated from capitalism. That was why socialism was propounded. Now, it might interest you to understand that the same Karl Marx, together with a man called Friedrich Engels, in their book, The Communist Manifesto, propounded communism. Okay, they propounded communism. You know, these philosophers, they will keep on thinking. Probably the one he had propounded before, it might not be as good as the one he intends doing. And this one, in this communism, Karl Marx and his friend, they were just dreaming. But follow me, let's find out if what they had dreamt, if it has manifested. Okay. Karl Marx wrote that communism will be achieved if the state is conceived as an instrument of coercion. Okay? And do you still remember the meaning of coercion? I told you about the meaning of coercion when I taught you power. I told you that coercion also means force. Okay? That communism could only be achieved through coercion. And we have been made to understand that whenever democracy is involved, coercion should not be applied. But there is a reason why Kamas made this suggestion. There is a reason why Kamas made a suggestion of coercion being used in a state for actualization of communism. We are going to take it step by step. Now, in the first place, it might interest you to understand that under this communism, two different classes exist. Okay, we have the number one class, the bourgeoisie. The bourgeoisie are those who have the wealthy people. Okay, and bourgeoisie here is spelled bourgeoisie. bourgeoisie, bourgeoisie. Now, bourgeoisie are those ones who have, in fact, they have more than they can even manage. And they have not, are called the proletariats. The proletariat. Proletariat spelled proletariats. proletariats. Now, I am giving you these words because you might not find them in some of these government books. I don't think it's in essential or comprehensive, but that's exactly the reason why Karl Marx suggested the use of coercion. Now, the bourgeoisies are the employers of labor under this system of government. They were the employers of labor. They were those who took advantage of the proletariat. They know exactly how to handle the proletariat. That is, they have not. Okay? So, because of these two classes, there is always a disagreement between these two classes. That is, the very rich and the very poor. The very rich and the very poor. And it might interest you to also understand that in Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels' dream, they are dreaming of having a classless society. Their dream is to have what? A classless society. That is a society that will have no class. Okay? Later we shall find out whether it's going to be a reality or not. Okay? Now, I want you to understand that another point, you know, Karl Marx was trying to make is the point of equality. He was trying to make the point of equality, but we shall come to the features. Now, the bourgeoisies here were the employers of labor who made it extremely difficult for the proletariat, that is their employees, to progress. Now, they created what they called overtime. Overtime. You might have your father or probably your relatives who are working in companies, probably in Port Harcourt, who enjoy this shift thing. Sometimes they go in the afternoon, sometimes they go in the morning. You find that the companies have strategies of creating what they call overtime. Now, this overtime might be slated even on Sundays. But ironically, they will make the overtime to be so interesting in terms of payment that especially the junior staff will find it difficult to resist it. So before you know what is happening, an employee will be working from Monday to Sunday, not because that is the schedule for work, but because he wants to make more money. But at the end of the day, he will see that he has nothing. Okay? And why did they now put this overtime? To make sure that the proletariat doesn't have time for themselves to think. Because I can assure you, when you have enough time for yourself, you should use it and use it very well. No wonder the white people say time is money. Now that you are at home, please utilize it. Okay. Now, let's look at the features of the system. One of the major features of this system is the use of force. Okay? That the state will apply the use of force to achieve its goals. What are we talking about? If the state will have to practice communism and succeed, it has to apply the use of force to get power off the hands of the bourgeoisies. Do we have bourgeoisies in our societies today? Of course we have. Honestly, there are those people who are even afraid of relinquishing power. Sometime last week, Adams Oshiomhole was stripped of his power of being the APC national chairman. Okay, and you know, it wasn't funny. Okay, and today there's also a tussle here in River State. The APC River State chairperson, I don't know what's really going on, but I'm not into political issues, but I'm just giving you example. Now, whatever thing that happened, those of them who are the hem of affairs wouldn't want to let go. They wouldn't want to let go because they have lots and lots of interests at stake. Okay? And so, Kamas is suggesting for communism to be practiced, those powers must be taken away from them with force. Then, another feature is one-party system. In this system of government, most communist states are involved with one-party system. Another point is dictatorship. Most of the communist leaders are dictatorial in nature. For instance, we have the leader of North Korea. That guy is something else. Kim, he is something else. 2 years ago, he killed his uncle because he suspected that the uncle was trying to take over power. He killed him. Okay? So, and people with such power are not ready to relinquish power. Absolute power, they say, corrupts. Absolutely. Okay. Another point is centralized economy. The economic planning is highly centralized. Another feature is a classless society. Now, class distinction in this system is discouraged. That Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels were making emphasis on a classless society where there will be no rich and no poor. But let us face reality. In our society today, I think we're having up to four classes. You see? I think we're having up to four classes. Okay, we have the very rich. Okay? We have the middle class. All right? We have the poor. And we have the very poor. Honestly, the last ones are those ones whose poverty, you know, is spelled with capital P. You might not believe it, but some people are very, very poor, terribly poor. Honestly, every morning they're not sure of their daily bread. Okay? You ask them why their children enter school, they'll tell you that the government school said they should pay 2,000 and they don't have 2,000. And because of that, the child is not in school. I mean, that level of poverty is super. Okay? So, the kind of theory Karl Marx propounded is different from what we are seeing now. Let's continue. Another feature is distribution of wealth. He was of the opinion that there is equal and that the wealth of the state should be distributed equally. The nation's wealth should be distributed equally. Now, how can anyone ascertain such distribution? You see, about 2 months ago or thereabouts, I learned that some palliatives were sent to Oyibo local government okay? And the instruction was that it should be given to those who need it. You know what I'm saying? So I went to the market one of the days, you know, people were running away, you know, trying to sell. Some of us were trying to buy. And suddenly we saw this van, you know, with that was filled with rice and other things. And, you know, people were inside it. Instead of them to stay at a place and give those palliatives to those who need it, they were throwing it. As they were driving on, they were throwing it. Some people were even falling. And when you look at whatever they are throwing, it's not even worth it. Now, is it the way it should be? If they had actually wanted to help those people who are living in this area, I think they should have taken statistics of the number of the less privileged. I get what I'm saying. Okay. Now, we have confiscation of property. Confiscation of property. Private property are confiscated and subsequently distributed. That one is dream. And I'm not sure that dream came to reality. Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, wherever they are, they will be disappointed. You know, before you confiscate someone's property, I'm sure it's going to be someone who doesn't really have anybody that knows somebody that knows somebody at the top. Right now, those of them who had stolen before, the next thing you hear is that they are facing EFCC. Before you spell Jack Robinson, EFCC had already allowed them to be. The other day, I was going through the internet and I ran into across a post someone shared about Dezina Madueke. Dezina Madueke was the petroleum minister, former petroleum minister during Goodluck Jonathan's administration. When EFCC was trying to go after her, they said she had cancer, okay? And people were like, oh no, sorry, this and that. But right now, I think she's now residing at Trinidad and Tobago, something like that. But I'm not interested. What am I trying to say? The so-called amount of money that was tied around the woman and everything, they said they were going to strip her off all those things. I don't think they've done anything yet. And that woman is still there. So the idea of, you know, confiscation of this property might not happen in our time. I don't know. But that's what I think. Okay, another point is tolerance. Opposition of any kind is not tolerated in this system. Opposition of any kind is not tolerated in the system. The bourgeoisie do not tolerate any form of opposition. Okay, that is why in Nigerian politics, they are doing it a kind of do or die affair. Someone is desperately looking for power, you know, trying to acquire the power by all means because they know exactly what they are going to steal. Okay. All right. Now, it might also interest you that state withers away is a point. State withers away. This is after capitalism is destroyed. The state becomes unnecessary. You see, when this power is taken from the bourgeoisie, all state boundary withers away. All state boundaries withers away. Whatever that has been that demarcation that made it compulsory that there are the poor and the rich will surely wither away. It's not my idea. It is the idea of Karl Marx. And Frederick Engels, okay? All right? I'm sure wherever they are today, they are disappointed that it never came to be. Okay, you can add more. I'm sure there are more in the text. You can add more, but so far, so good. This is the much I can take today. I'll continue with the principles in our next class. And try as much as you can to compare communism with communalism. When you compare, that's the time you'll be able to know the differences so that you don't make mistakes. Give 4 differences between communism and communalism. four differences between communism and communalism. Take care of yourself and please stay safe.